I'll just read one scripture at a time so that you don't need to keep hold of the passages. So the verse I have in mind for me and for you tonight is in John's Gospel, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8, and I'm going to read verse 24. John 8, verse 24. Is Jesus speaking? Same person who's speaking tonight. And he said, I said, therefore, to you, that ye shall die in your sins. For unless ye shall believe that I am he, ye. There's already a language barrier here tonight, so I want to keep it simple. And I want you to know that God's word is very clear, and there is no doubt about it. So God speaks tonight. It's not me. When I say that the one that speaks today is the same that spoke here, I'm not referring to myself. I am but a very weak vessel. But God is speaking to your heart tonight. And so as you're sitting there, keep it in mind, you may be looking at me, but your eyes, your ears, and your heart should be seeking for God's word for your heart and for your life tonight. And as I'm speaking, I'm doing the same thing. I'm wanting to listen to what God has to tell us. Now, God tells us a very important point. He is saying that we all will die in our sins. And this is a very solemn matter. And despite the world around you and me, that includes me and you, by the way, because what is around us can also be in us, okay? So we need to be very careful as we say this. World around us, our flesh, our heart. And I'm saying our because I mean me and you. We're together in this, my dear friend. We're together in it. We are sinners. We sin. Very, very basic. I don't need to stand here 2 hours to explain to you what sin is. You know it for yourself. You know very well. If you have an opportunity, you will tell a lie. If you have an opportunity, you will disobey your parents. Obviously, when your parents say you can't play, what rubbish is that? I want to play, and I will play. Well, that's dishonesty, right? You're disobeying your parents. And so this little thing of a little child becomes a great big thing when money comes in, when power comes in, when self-will comes in. All this is sin, my dear friend. And we will die in our sins. Why this? Why is it so? Because God tells us that the wages of sin is death, okay? And after death comes judgment, not before death, after death. So whoever in this room thinks that death is the end of all things, it isn't, right? It isn't. God's word says that after death, there is judgment. Okay? So be careful. And I want you to listen, not to me. I'm not just inventing this. I'm trying to tell you what God is wanting you to know. Okay? Now then, if after death, there is judgment, and if death is the wages of sin, that means that if you sin, what is going to happen is you're going to die, okay? And if this is the case, then it's true that we will die in our sins. But thank God that in this verse, there is a word, a really important word. And if you just go home with that word, I'd be happy. It says, unless. Unless. What does that mean? That means there is hope. That means that for every sinner in this world today, me included, there is hope. Where does this hope stand? It stands in a beautiful person. It stands in a concept that is so simple that I took years to understand it. I may be a bit foolish, but I tell you, it's so nice. It's so simple. It says, Jesus said, unless ye shall believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now, this is a different story from what I was just telling you before. I was telling you that we were just going to die in our sins. But Jesus says, unless you believe that I am he. So what we're going to do tonight is to try and understand what that I am he actually means, okay? So we're going to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 4. I'm just going to read one verse, John 4, verse 26. Jesus says to her, and I could say to him, to you, to me, I who speak to thee, to you, or to me, am he. Now you say, I thought you were going to explain who that I am he is. Well, before I explain it, I want you to know that the I am he is speaking to you. Be clear. Let me be very clear. It's not me that is speaking to you. The I am he, Jesus Christ, is speaking to you tonight. He's saying, the one that is speaking to you, I am he. I am the one. I am the one. Are you looking for him? Have you ever met him? Do you know who I'm talking about? Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. God himself manifested in flesh. That person, that only person, is speaking to you tonight. This is the greatest thing ever. Would you not like to go and have a word with your king here in the United Kingdom? Would you not like to be able to speak to powerful people and they could come up and tell you, look, you just have that piece of land. That's for you. Wouldn't you like that? Well, this is far, far, far greater. God himself is speaking to you tonight and he's telling you something. You know what he's telling you? I am he. What does this mean? What does this mean? I'll tell you what it means. John 9. John 9, verse 37. Look, same person speaking again. Isn't it amazing? And Jesus said to him, Jesus is saying to you, thou hast both seen him, and he that speaks with you, with thee, is he. And we're going one step forward. We're going one step forward here. The man that we're reading of here was a blind man. That actually means that he couldn't see. But I tell you, I was blind for many years in my life. Not physically blind. I just couldn't see God. I couldn't see Jesus. I didn't believe in him. Until one day, Jesus said to me, the one that you're seeing, the one that is speaking to you, I am he. Have you met Jesus? Have you seen Jesus in your life? Have you seen signs of God working in your life? I can tell you one thing. If you've seen even just one sign, you will know God is working in your life. Jesus is very concerned that you know that he is. Because all this, my dear friend, goes back to the beginning. When God called his people on earth, he said, I am. That's how he explained. That's how he said, I am. And how authoritative that is. Who of us can say, I am? None of us could say that, could you? Would you dare say something like that? Go in the middle of the street and say, I am. You wouldn't, would you? Nobody knows you. Well, God is the only person that could ever say that. And he's telling you tonight that I am he. I am God himself. And I am speaking to you. That's what he's saying to you. And the beautiful thing is that he said to this man, not only I'm speaking to you, he said, can you see me? You were blind 5 minutes ago, 2 hours ago. You were blind. You couldn't see. Now you can see me right in front of you. If you've had an experience with Jesus, you can sympathize to this. You can know very well what this means. Once you've seen Jesus, you will never forget him. Never, ever. And we long. I tell you one thing. If you believe in Jesus already, just like me, you will long to see him. And you want to see him forever. We will. One day. Yeah? Now then, what is this all this about? So we go to the first epistle of John. And I think this verse just sums it up. It makes it a bit clearer. First epistle of John, chapter 5. Right down the end of the Bible, just before Revelation. 1 John 5,
I'm going to read verse 5.
Who is he that gets the victory over the world but he that believes? Now listen, that Jesus is the Son of God. I am he. What? What is it about? Jesus, my dear friend, is the Son of God. He's God himself. He came down here. He came down here. Why? Why did he come down here? Just to show that he was the Son of God? No, nobody knew, you know. If you just looked at Jesus as he was walking, you would have never said he was the Son of God. Nothing was attractive about him. This is what the Bible tells us. I wouldn't even dare to say this to you if it wasn't written in the Bible. Why then did he come? Because he loved you. Because he loved me. And he knew that we were going to die in our sins. So he said, so that he could say, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. Why did Jesus come into this world? So that you and I would have a chance not to die in our sins. That we would have a way out. That we would be set free, as the Bible says, from the bondage of sin. From the law of sin. This is the great disaster of sin. One sin leads to another, and then before we know it, we're rolling down that hill to destruction. Unless we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So the beautiful thing about the gospel is that it is an invitation to Christ. I'm not inviting you to come to me, and I'm not inviting you necessarily to come to this room. I'm inviting you to go to Jesus. That is the way I'm wanting to point you to. The only one that is the true life, everlasting life, real hope, real peace, true healing. Whatever it is your situation in life, you know, some of us may think, oh, I don't have really many trouble. Or others may think, goodness, how can I get out of all this mess? Well, I sympathize with us, with this feeling. Sometimes I put myself in a real mess. My wife tells me that every day. Now then, how do we do that? Why is the gospel preached? It is preached, my dear friend, so that you may not die in your sins. This is a fundamental point. And how do you do this? Well, this is the beautiful part. I told you at the beginning that this was an invitation. And I want you to be clear on this. You can't just sit there, listen, and then say, oh, that's fine, brilliant. Oh, I didn't like that. I couldn't understand a word of what he was saying. That's not how it works. My dear friend, the gospel is what I like to call an active message. So it's an action message. It's an action pack, right? So you get it, you receive it, and you're meant to act. There's an action that you need to do. There's something that you need to do tonight if you've never done it before. What is it? Believing. That's as simple as that. What is it? What does Jesus say? It's not my words. Jesus says, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So if that concerns you, and it should, because after sin, after death comes judgment, then if that concerns you, don't worry. Turn to Jesus tonight. Believe that Jesus is your Savior. You don't need to go back 2,000 years ago. You don't need Jesus to be here to tell you this. You need to believe in his word. His word is everlasting. Will never change. Never, ever change. This gospel message has been preached for over 2,000 years. And the same solution is given to you as it has been given to me years ago when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. My dear friend, it's as simple as that. Believe that Jesus died for your sins. He came here to die on a cross, not because he was sinful. He was not a sinner. He is life. I am the resurrection and the life, we said earlier, didn't we? So death couldn't have any hold on Christ. And in fact, what is the proof of that? The tomb could keep the Lord Jesus. The sepulchre there was empty, wasn't it? The stone had been rolled away. Why is it? Because death couldn't hold the author of life. Jesus is perfect. I am he, the Son of God. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God has overcome the world. Are you struggling in the world today? Of course you are. Jesus says you will have tribulation. Why then this message is so real? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God overcomes the world. We go beyond this fear, beyond the troubles of the world, and we can enjoy the peace of believing in the Lord Jesus. How do you do it then? How does it work? Well, very simply, the people we read of in John, I didn't want to stop and read because I wanted to be short, but what did they do? What did they say? They said a simple thing. They said, I believe. That man, that blind man, who probably hadn't been able to go to school, probably didn't know how to write, certainly didn't know how to read. He couldn't see, could he? That's not a problem. You don't need to be a university student. You don't need to be a manager in this world to be saved. You just need to believe. Believe in Jesus tonight for his name's sake. Amen.